Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 11, the universal form, text number 36. Arjuna Vacha, Sane Rishikesha Tava Prakritya, Jagat Parishat Yanurajate Cha, Rakshamsi Bhitani Disho Javanti, Sarvena Vasyanti Chasiddha Sangha. Arjuna Vacha. Arjuna said, Stane, rightly, Rishika Isha. O Master of all senses, Tava, your Prakritya, by the glories, Jagat, the entire world, Prarishati, is rejoicing, Anurajate, is becoming attached, Cha, and Rakshami, the demons, Bhitani, out of fear, Dishaha, in all directions. Javanti, are fleeing. Sarve, all. Namasyanti, are offering respects. Cha, also. Siddhasangha, the perfect human beings. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Arjuna said, O Master of the senses, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and thus everyone becomes attached to you. Although the perfect beings offer you respectful obeisance and homage, the demons are afraid and they flee here and there. All this is rightly done. Purport. Arjuna, after hearing from Krishna about the outcome of the battle of Kurukshetra, became enlightened. And as a great devotee and friend of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he said that everything done by Krishna is quite fit. Arjuna confirmed that Krishna is the maintainer and object of worship for the devotees, and the destroyer of the undesirables. His actions are equally good for all. Arjuna understood herein that when the battle of Kurukshetra was being conducted, in outer space there were present many demigods, siddhas, and the intelligentsia of the higher planets. And they were observing the fight because Krishna was present there. When Arjuna saw the universal form of the Lord, the demigods took pleasure in it. But others who were demons and atheists could not stand it when the Lord was praised. Out of the natural fear of the devastating form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they fled. Krishna's treatment of the devotees and the atheists is praised by Arjuna. In all cases, the devotee glorifies the Lord because he knows that whatever he does is good for all. So the verse is, Sane Rishikesha Tava Prakritya Jagat Parishat Pranarajate Cha Rakshami Vitani Disho Devanti Sarve Namasyanti Jasiddha Sangha. O Master of the senses, all the world becomes joyful hearing your holy name, and this all becomes attached to you, but the demons are afraid and they flee here and there. All this is rightly done. Now this seems quite a switch, going from Bimbara cheeks, Mother Jasoda is kissing the bimba cheeks of Krishna, and Krishna's crying, and now he's eating warriors, and flames are coming out of his mouth. Even people who smoke, flames don't come out of their mouth usually. So how is it that we can switch from such a nice little boy to a horror movie, and he's the star of it? So the point is, we see things from our own perspective. As a matter of fact, that's why we're considered to be conditioned souls, because we're conditioned by our perspective. Of course, in the spiritual world, there are also different perspectives of seeing Krishna. Mother Yashoda doesn't see Krishna the same way that Srimati Radharani sees him. But they see him as nectar. Both Srimati Radharani and Mother Yashoda, the cowboys, the calves, the cows. Krishna is the supreme nectar. Now, I don't know how we see Krishna, because we're also part of the universal form right now. As a matter of fact, what we're looking at is just a little part of the universal form. We may think we're seeing Slovenians or one American in the midst of them, or one Ukrainian. But actually what we're seeing is just Krishna's universal form. And we happen to be in it, that's all. The little tiny souls that we are, we're in this universal form. And we're seeing it in many different ways. And those ways are described, for instance, throughout the Vedic literature. For instance, when Krishna went to the bank of the Jamuna, the cowboys and Krishna saw that there's a big crane coming out of the Jamuna. And the crane immediately swallowed Krishna. Now Krishna is as sweet as sugar candy. But when Bakasura swallowed Krishna, he tasted as bitter, like acid. And therefore he vomited up Krishna. Now obviously he had very bad digestion. I'm sure it improved once Krishna entered into his mouth. But still, he thought Krishna was bitter, like poison. Although Krishna is so sweet, that at the end of the, during the devastation, when all the universes are, the whole universe is just filled up with water, Krishna takes the opportunity to sit on a banyan leaf and take his big toe and suck on it for many thousands of years, because he heard from his devotees how sweet his lotus feet are. So he wants to taste it for himself. As a matter of fact, there was one devotee named Puri Das. Puri was only a little baby. And he was the son of Shivananda Sen. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was visiting Shivananda Sen, Puri Das came up to Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and put his Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's big toe in his mouth and began to suck on it. And because he did that, even if he was a little boy like 5 years old, he comprised perfect Sanskrit verses about Krishna and his associates in Vrindavan in Sanskrit. So Krishna's lotus feet are very sweet. And in fact, Krishna is very sweet. And it's not that Vrindavan, Krishna is sweet, and then somehow or another, if he goes out of Vrindavan, his mood changes. And you gotta watch out. He's unpredictable. No, Krishna always has the same mood in all his incarnations. The same purpose is there. He wants to deliver the conditioned souls out of their illusion so they can come back to the sweetness of at least Vaikuntha, if not Vrindavan. And Krishna's original form is Krishna, which means that even as Narayan, he has the same sweetness, it is not manifested. Even as the universal form, the same object is there. Because as we can see, we ourselves as conditioned souls were quite stubborn, if you haven't noticed. We're very reluctant to make any spiritual advancement because we're convinced that we're going to be happy here. And right now, in spite of all the problems that are going on, we still think, well, anyhow, there's prasadam. Could be worse. And it may become worse. Who knows? How much is it going to take that we finally put up our hands and say, I surrender? Not, I put up my one hand and say, well, I surrender, but you know, maybe sometime later. But Arjuna, when he saw the universal form, he saw the actual manifestation of terror that's in the universal form. That Krishna can manifest a form which is quite terrifying, even to Arjuna, or at least astonishing. But he's doing that to wake his children up. It's a horror movie. It's the most amazing horror movie that was ever made, called The Universal Form. And we happen to be taking part in that horror movie. Matter of fact, we're one of the villains in it. And of course, Krishna could chew us up like he does chew up everyone in the material world in the form of time. Everyone gets devoured and spit out. Sometimes the living egg gets chewed up by the vultures and he comes out, we come out the other end, this beautiful body that everyone, ooh, cooey, cooey. Look how strong I am, you know. And we come out the other end. And no one appreciates us when we come out the other end of the vulture. This very beautiful body that everyone's taking pictures of and we were taking selfies of. In a few moments, people will not want to get near us. Or we're put into a grave and then we're eaten by insects and we become ashes. Or perhaps, then we're burned, and we also become ashes. So this horror movie that we're all taking place in, we're attached to it. We think it's fantastic because it has some aspect of Krishna. Otherwise, we wouldn't be attracted to it. Unless it has some of the attractiveness that Krishna has, why would we be attracted to it? But it only has a fraction of Krishna's attractiveness, and therefore, the power of Krishna is explained in the universal form here, and the idea was we should become terrified of it. Not that, oh, that's not possible, this is just an exaggeration. Krishna doesn't smoke. He's a vegetarian. There's some contradiction here. I don't think he would eat worries on a battlefield. Flaming, you know, many heads, arms, legs, eyes, mouths. Anyhow, we're supposed to get a little fearful of staying here because no one wants to get eaten. On the other hand, we have to remember that this is all positive, that Krishna is doing it in order to get us out of this material world back to the spiritual world where everything is loving and blissful. But as I said, we're a little stubborn, and therefore it takes something special to wake us up. And the Bhagavatam had said that Krishna was sleeping with his consorts, and he started to shake them in order to wake one of his consorts up so that they could have some pastimes together. So we're here in the material world, we're given bodies, and especially in the human form of life. We may get shaken a little, but the idea is Krishna wants to wake us up. And if we get shaken and we start chanting Hare Krishna seriously, then it was a good shake. And if we go, leave me alone, I want to go back to sleep, it was really a nice dream. I don't want to wake up and listen to you, Krishna. I want to go back and be Krishna in my dream. Then what can Krishna do? All he can do is start shaking us or maybe slap us a few times. Or as Prabhupada said, if someone is asleep, it's easy to wake them up. But if someone is actually awake, but they're pretending to be asleep, then it's impossible to wake them up. So the question is whether we want to be asleep and wake up, or we want to be awake and pretend to be asleep, and then challenge Krishna. Let's see if you can actually wake me up. And then we may have to come back in some species of life where Krishna is not going to shake us. He's just going to give us the intelligence. Oh, you wanted to eat, sleep, mate, and defend? Well, here. Here you got this body. And I'll show you all the good places to eat, all the good places to sleep, all the good places to mate, and I'll even teach you a little bit about defense in 8 million species of life. And enjoy. I'll see you later when you get back to the human form of life again. So here we're in the human form of life. And if we want to take the chance, we can go back to some part of the universal form, or we can go back to Vrindavan and be with Krishna. That's our choice. And we don't have that much time to make the choice. Of course, we may have time, because we're devotees. But most people have no idea what the choice is. They think all they're thinking about is some virus. There's no room in their brain for anything but a virus. So guess what they're going to come back in the next lifetime as? Yes. They may come back as a Slovenian virus. Because that's what they're thinking about. And the people who are advertising, all the newspaper people, the advertisement, the people promoting the whole thing, they'll come back as the super viruses, killer viruses, or some variant of one of them. Therefore, we're sitting here, we're singing Dharma Rastika, and people think, oh, these people are wasting their time, singing to some aborigine coward boy who steals butter. His mother is so stingy that he steals a little butter because he's hungry, and she ties him up. Some people may think like that. But we know that these are actual real life, real loving pastimes. And without them, then we have to be stuck here in the material world. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments?
Shri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, this verse is a famous mantra for protection from ghosts.
Stane Rishikesha Tava Prakritya Jigat Parishat Parmarajadeja. Well, that's good. I know it. Good to know.
And Rakshasas.
Rakshasas. Have anyone seen any? There are many Rakshasas nowadays. So we'll find out whether it works. Anything else that protects us from? Actually, we should say it protects you from viruses. What's that? Yes, yeah, we should tell, then people will hear in the streets, they'll be chanting, Stane Rishikesha Tava Prakritya. The newspaper, Stana Rishikesha Tava. So there's another question over here. Prakritya, by the way, means glory. It's not only Krishna's name, but everything about Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj, for this class. And for pointing out again, reminding us about how dangerous this material world is and how rare is this human form of life, that we should take advantage and go back. My question is, as devotees, we are trying very hard to be absorbed in Krishna's holy name, engage in his service, be absorbed in his pastimes. So is it possible in this very lifetime to go back to Krishna? If we are strictly following the regulative principles, chanting the names, obeying the orders of the spiritual master and trying our level best to please Krishna?
Well, if you do that, then practically you're already with Krishna. As far as going back to Krishna, Prabhupada was Tripurari Maharaj at that time. He asked Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, if we sincerely distribute your books, is it possible that we can go back to the spiritual world and develop love for Krishna? So Prabhupada said, because you sincerely love Krishna, therefore you're sincerely distributing my books. So the seed of love of God is there in these activities. How much we develop it will depend upon many factors. But as far as quickening the process, all we do is have to follow the process to the best we can. Try to understand it, because not to the best we can. Try to assimilate it. Try to practice it. And then Krishna Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, he'll give us as much intelligence as he sees we deserve, and we'll make progress. And if we're slow learners, don't worry, we're eternal. We just happen to be eternal so that we can be a little patient, since we're going to be around forever. It's a long time.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.